This is an All Ears English Podcast, episode 1424, English Euphemisms and How They Lead to Your Fluency.
Welcome to the All Ears English Podcast, downloaded more than 150 million times. Are you feeling stuck with your English? We'll show you how to become fearless and fluent by focusing on connection, not perfection. With your American hosts, Lindsay McMahon, the English adventurer, and Michelle Kaplan, the New York radio girl, coming to you from Colorado and New York City, USA. Fluency means using euphemisms, knowing how to use them, and then deciding how direct to be when you approach sensitive topics in English. Listen today to get closer to that higher level of English fluency. All Ears English is sponsored by Indeed. If you're in charge of hiring at your company, you know that the key to making a great hire is having one easy place to go to find great candidates. That's why we love Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/AEE. Just go to Indeed.com/AEE right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on All Ears English. Indeed.com/AEE. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, Lindsay, how's it going?
Hey, Michelle, I'm feeling good. Yes, getting ready for September. It's going to be an exciting month.
Yeah, definitely. So we have been having a lot of fun on this show with different kinds of topics about English, and I've been loving doing these topics. So, for example, do you remember we did one on onomatopoeias?
Onomatopoeias. I still love saying that. But
I know.
I do 1340. Guys, you should go check that out. That was really cool. Hopefully our listeners love that one.
Yeah, definitely. It was beep, beep, ring, ring. How using onomatopoeias in English can you make you more interesting? So I definitely had fun with that one. So listen to that one. And today we are going to kind of take on another interesting aspect of English. And this is the euphemism. So
yes.
We spell that, that's with a P-H, guys. So that's E-U-P-H-E-M-I-S-M.
Yes. And so what the heck is a euphemism? And why should we learn them, Michelle?
Okay. So a euphemism is a way to put something in a nice sounding way, in a less direct way, right?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit softer. It's actually a substitution, and they're very common in the English language, and we use them even though everyone usually knows what is actually being said, but you might not want to say the direct, like, bad sounding thing.
Okay, interesting. So this is very high level to be able to do this.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, and this is super high level.
Yeah, it makes me think of, you know, we use these on an everyday basis, but even, you know, if we are, let's say we're at a nice dinner and we want to say something in a different way. I mean, not all of these phrases would work because we're going to share the phrase birthday suit. So that's a little different, which I love that phrase too.
Me too.
But, you know, yeah. Around polite company, as they say, we want to be able to rephrase things and put them in nice ways. So this also would work in one particular context that I can think of, which is the IELTS exam. Right, Michelle?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. This is really good for IELTS. This definitely shows that you are at a super high level.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And guys, by the way, if you are taking IELTS this year, the first place to get started is at the IELTS Energy podcast by All Ears English. So Jessica and Aubrey are over there. Michelle, you're over there once in a while. I'm over there sometimes. But we have 14 plus years of examiner experience going into that podcast. Okay. So go over there, sign up, subscribe, and start listening because we're going to help you get that 7 or higher over there. All right. Cool.
Perfect. Yes, definitely. Go over there, guys. So yeah, let's get more into the euphemism. So for example, I may not want to, let's say someone is lazy, right? Yeah. I may not want to say you're lazy, right? Or I may not want to use the word lazy. I might, or about myself, right? Like I might not want to call myself lazy, but I might want to use the word like comfortable. Right?
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think that in this case, when you say this, that people know you're trying to say lazy and this is just kind of a word we're using to sound more palatable? Or
kind of. I mean, I think this is a little bit of a complex example, right? Because I mean, I could say like, well, actually, that's complex. Not true. I mean, I'll say this is the context I was thinking of. Like, oh, okay. Hey, like if I'm with Dan and he's like, oh, okay, get off the couch, Michelle. I need you to blah, blah, blah. I don't know if he needs me, if he needs help with something. And I'm like, I don't want to move. I'm comfortable, right? I might not want to say lazy. Like, maybe I'm not even that comfortable. Maybe I'm just lazy.
I see. That makes sense. No, that's helpful. So let's keep going through the other examples and it'll become really clear for our listeners here.
Definitely. So this one I remember from childhood. I don't remember where I heard it. Did you ever hear somebody described as vertically challenged?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
What does that mean?
Vertically challenged. So meaning you're short.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of short too. I'm 5'4". What's your height, Michelle?
I'm like I'm not even 5'3". So I'm short too. But I always kind of liked being on the shorter side.
Did you? But you kind of have a voice of a tall person.
What?
You have like a great mic voice. And so when I actually thought that you were taller before I met you.
That's funny. I actually think that I thought you were tall. It's always funny because we've been in the same place like so few times that it's weird when you're 3D, Lindsay, honestly. 3D. And I remember.
It is weird. It is weird.
It's I'm like, oh my weird. Gosh. Like,
you thought I was taller. That's so funny. That's so funny.
So we're both kind of, I wonder if Jessica and Aubrey are taller, short.
Oh, Jessica's taller. She's like 5'8", I think,
oh,
or
really?
5'7". I think so. Aubrey, I don't actually really know. So know. Very interesting. Very
anyway,
interesting.
Anyway. Yeah. So Lindsay and I are vertically challenged, but that's okay. That's a nice way to say short. So again, people can also make their own euphemisms or they can be widely heard in conversations. So, but today we're going to give you some more common ones. So Lindsay, what's the next one?
Yeah. So the next one would be, so this idea of put to sleep. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you're, especially for an animal.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the euphemism for that?
Well, the put to sleep is the
euphemism.
Is the euphemism.
Yes,
sorry. Okay. So euthanize, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, you don't want to say like, oh, they have to euthanize my dog. Like, that sounds terrible. I mean, everybody knows what put to sleep means, but it just sounds, it's not as harsh sounding. So if we say something like, oh, we had to put my dog to sleep because the vet said she was in pain. Sorry for that terrible example, but
no, I know what you mean. I always, when I was a kid, and we never had to put my cats to sleep, but I remember going to the vet and hearing that word being thrown around and kind of being like, wow, that sounds harsh.
Oh, euthanize.
Yeah.
It's not a word you want to hear. I mean, everybody knows what put to sleep means, right?
Like,
but
sleep,
it's just not, it's something, it sounds worse to say it the other way.
Yeah, I used to work in a vet's office when I was a senior.
Really?
In high school.
Oh,
I was a vet assistant.
Oh.
And and I remember just, oh man, feeling so bad for the vet who had to do euthanasias. Ugh. Or I guess it's called euthanasia. And just, I don't know, heartbreaking, right? Because if you go into veterinary medicine, you love animals. And then to have to do that.
Yeah,
right?
Like it's such a big part of your job. I know.
Yeah.
That's going to be hard. I definitely couldn't do that.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, and this one's even worse, of course.
Yeah, so this is a cheerful episode about euphemism. This is much different from onomatopoeias when we're like, crash, bang, boom. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So this one is passed away. Another cheerful one.
Which means this died.
Died, right? So
for
like
people.
So my great-grandmother passed away last year.
Yeah, exactly. So again, if you are on the speaking test in IELTS, to be able to say this instead of just the simple textbook word of to die, if you can say passed away, it shows that really deeper understanding of the language. And that examiner would be looking towards the 7 or higher for vocab. Okay.
Right.
So good.
Yeah. So good. Yeah.
Hey guys, I want to remind you to go ahead and hit subscribe on your podcast player. We have tons of exciting stuff lined up for you this fall, but you'll miss it all if you don't have us in your podcast deck. So go ahead and hit subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode of All Ears English. Thanks for listening to the show. Imagine how great it would be if you could answer just 7 questions and find out your English fluency level in a simple, easy way, and find out what to do to reach 99% fluency. Well, you can do this by taking our quick fluency score quiz. What is your fluency score? Find out in just a few minutes. Go to allearsenglish.com/fluency score.
I like this next one. It's interesting. Between jobs. Have you ever heard of somebody say, I'm between jobs?
Yeah, this is definitely a euphemism. And people will say it with like a smug look on their face a little bit sometimes,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it is pretty harsh to say I'm unemployed. And people do still say it with pride right now. I'm unemployed right now.
Right.
But at different times, I've heard people say I'm between jobs. If you want it to sound a little bit less harsh, less direct.
Right. Exactly. And unfortunately, yeah, a lot of people are unemployed now. But yeah, I mean, sometimes people might say it as like a little bit of a joke, right?
Smug, kind of like, oh yeah, I'm between jobs.
Right.
A nice way to say you don't have a job.
Yeah, right.
This next one is great. I love this one. All right, funny.
What is it?
All right, so your birthday suit, it basically means you're naked because the day you're born, you have no clothes, so you are naked, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this one's fun. What's an example sentence?
I'm changing right now, so don't open the door. I'm in my birthday suit.
Yeah, that's so fun. So fun, birthday suit. It's a clever phrase.
It is clever. And then another time when people use, I mean, well, that last example as well. I mean, I feel like a lot of times with kids, people might use euphemisms because,
yeah, for sure.
Right? So like, well, do you want to do the next one, Lindsay?
Yeah, the next one is the birds and the bees, right? This means basically sex, right?
Yeah.
But maybe you have a teenage son or you're trying to explain this stuff to your teenager and you use that phrase. Like, I need to have a talk with my kids about the birds and the bees.
Or we're going to talk about the birds and the bees right now. Charlie, I don't know.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of like you may feel a little uncomfortable, at least in American culture, people may feel a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Broaching that topic with their teenage kids. So instead they use a word that's kind of like an analogy, kind of silly to not have to say the word. Let's talk about sex. Okay.
Yeah, right. That sounds like, I don't want it. Or it also makes me think of the stork.
Oh, yeah. What about that, Michelle?
So the stork is this idea. I don't know if it's in other cultures, but sometimes when kids ask, like, where do babies come from? And they might say, oh, the stork brings them. And that's basically, you know, that this bird comes and delivers the baby because they don't want to say what, you know, they want to avoid the actual topic.
Yeah, for sure. I love it. So very high level, very common, very natural and native. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, Lindsay, why do you think we use euphemisms and what does this say about our culture? Like, do you think we're trying to hide things or what?
Good question, Michelle. So, yeah, think about it. Death, loss of job, and sex and being naked, right? These are topics that people might feel shame around. They might feel like they don't want to talk about directly.
Yeah.
And so that's why. Because we want to play around with our words. We don't want to have to say the word directly. We may be embarrassed. So we want to come up with another thing to say.
Yeah, definitely. And I wonder if other cultures have this as well.
I wonder.
You have to let us know about this because, you know, different. Ooh. I mean, talking about the birds and bees with your kids, you know, or, you know, like it's like a big deal and kind of feeling that shame or whatever is, I wonder, something that people around the world feel.
Yeah, I suspect that in certain cultures, there's a lot less shame around talking about sex with teenage kids. Like if you're a parent, you need to have that talk with your kids. Yeah. I have a feeling maybe that talk doesn't even happen because it's been intertwined in the conversation all along, right? I mean, we do have this whole like Protestant conservatism in certain parts of our country. It's not true everywhere, though. I mean, I find that in certain families, like in the West or different California, it's less uptight than the East Coast. And even that is a generalization, right? It really depends on your family.
That's true.
Right. But definitely in my family, we didn't talk about that stuff very much. So
neither, mine either. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would suspect that for our listeners in certain cultures, it's much less of a taboo topic. But guys, let us know. This would be really interesting to talk about. Come back to Instagram. Come back to our blog, 1424. Type it in. Leave a comment on the blog.
Definitely. Okay. Yeah. This is fun. I mean, yeah, I think it's just we don't always want to be direct and I mean, it's just one of many ways to be less direct. So I think a lot of people rely on it. But I don't always think that we should just, you know, shy away from saying the real thing if it's necessary.
Totally. I think we should get comfortable. We should try to get comfortable with saying the thing, the actual topic. Like, why do we have to? I think it's a little like cheesy or maybe a little wimpy to say birds and the bees. Like, it's kind of dodging the topic and it's taking the easy way out in some ways. Hmm. I mean, I think the phrase birthday suit is just funny and it's fun.
Yeah, it is.
But this birds and the bees, I feel like it's just avoiding just saying the word and just say it. You know what I mean? That's what I think.
Right. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. This sounds like something we could continue talking about another episode. For sure. There's a lot to say here, but I think to help with that other episode, like, we would definitely want to hear from our listeners.
I would love about that. Guys, so if you want a part two on this episode, there's a lot to dig into. Leave some comments, give us something to respond to, ask a question, and then we will do a part two for this one.
Definitely. All right, so Lindsay, what's the takeaway for today?
Well, I mean, before we do the takeaway, I just want to remind you guys again, IELTS exam using euphemisms would instantly increase your score. So to learn more about that, go over and subscribe to the IELTS Energy podcast. That's a podcast by our team, All Ears English. And to leave our listeners with a takeaway, euphemisms are a huge part of our culture, so you should be able to use them, okay? Mm-hmm. There's a lot more than what we've just shared today, right, Michelle?
Yeah. There are tons. Yeah, just Google it and you'll find a lot. And, you know, we can do follow-ups. But yeah, they're very useful. But you have to think about, like, when is there, at some point, am I just hiding? You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
So think about when you're using it and why you're using it. And they're definitely okay to use. Like, there's no issue with using it. But, you know, something that's just food for thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key to becoming fluent and fearless for our listeners is to know the euphemism, know what it means, know how to use it, and then make the choice depending on the situation. Like, how upfront do you want to be? How direct do you want to be? Who are you talking to? What's the context? That is fluency, right, Michelle?
Absolutely. Oh, I love that. Yeah, this has been a lot of fun, Lindsay. And yeah, we'll hopefully talk more about this soon.
All right. Talk to you soon. Take care.
Right, bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to All Ears English. If you are taking IELTS this year, get your estimated band score with our 2-minute quiz. Go to allearsenglish.com/myscore. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, then hit subscribe now to make sure you don't miss anything. See you next time.